Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ruler is the world's finest magazine of cycling and cycling culture. Established in 2006, Ruler interviews the world's biggest cycling names and covers the world's biggest cycling races. Visit our website at ruler.cc and subscribe to support our in-depth features, long reads, independent journalism, stunning photography and immersive cycling coverage. I'm Edward Pickering, I'm the editor of Ruler, and this is Ruler Conversations. We've got a special edition of Ruler Conversations for you today. We spent the second half of last week at Ruler Live, our annual show, which is basically the best cycling party in the world, for the best ever edition of the event. We turned the Truman Brewery in Shoreditch into a celebration of cycling, with talks on two separate stages from the likes of Geraint Thomas, Annemiek van Vleuten, Vincenzo Nibali, Lizzie Deignan, and many more. Dozens and dozens of exhibitors showing off the very latest and best bike tech, a ton of creative input from us at the magazine, and most importantly, more than 1,000 cycling fans a day through the doors, who made for an atmosphere which is second to none in the bike world, and we're already looking forward to Ruler Live 2024. It was a whirlwind 3 days, and we're still processing our thoughts about the event. Everyone seemed to be having a really great time. We loved meeting our readers, and the only regret is that it was over so soon. So in order to give you a bit of a taste of the atmosphere and what was on offer there, we managed to record some audio for Ruler Conversations. Over the next three episodes, we'll bring exclusive interviews with Gerard Vrooman of 3T and John Ebsen of Factor Bikes, plus a special episode focusing on the indie frame builders and bike companies who might not have the scale of some of the more famous brands, but who harness passion and artisanship to make some really cool bikes and gear, and who play an amazing part in cycling's ecosystem. But first, for this week's episode, I joined up with James Start, Ruler's roving photojournalist, to rove around Ruler Live and pick out a few highlights. I should add now that the audio was recorded in a noisy venue in which thousands of bike fans were talking enthusiastically and a little noisily about cycling. It will give you an idea of the brilliant atmosphere. So, without further ado, here's me and James on our Ruler Live walkabout. I'm Edward Pickering, I'm the editor of Ruler. This is Ruler Conversations, live from Ruler Live. It is day three of the event. I'm a hollow shell of a man. My throat is shot from all the talking. And I'm here joined by James Start. James, how are you on day three of Ruler Live?
I'm pretty shattered as well, but my throat's doing a little bit better than yours. You still got, two talks to do on the stage, I think?
One more talk to. Geraint Thomas is going to do most of the talking, thankfully. And you're going to have to do a lot of the talking on this podcast. But we're going to take a little walk around the entire floor of Ruler. Stop off at a few places where we think the gear is particularly cool. There's no bad stuff at Ruler Live, but there's so much cool gear here. So we're going to walk through from the entrance here. We're in the first room. We've kind of nicknamed this area Ruler Live Fringe because it's kind of a little creative space. There's a display of bikes. There is an art installation. There's the Ruler editorial suite where we've been sitting and working. And there is the other stage, which is an innovation for this year. We've got live talks hosted by Jez Cox and also an exhibition of portraits by James. But we're going to walk through. The first thing we've come to here, James, is this display of retro Colnago bikes. And I'm not even sure we're going to get any further through the exhibition. What do you see here?
these are all such a thing of beauty. The Colnagos always were, but I mean, we have one of Yoan Muzio's Colnagos. I don't think this was the Roubaix one, but it was one of the bikes he was riding when he was winning Roubaix and all those great races. Yoan has been here, actually. He still won't tell me what his saddle height was or his gear ratios, but you know, that doesn't matter. Once a secret, always a secret, right? But that's just one of them. We got the gold finish. I think it was the Mexico gold. We've got the double tube, down tube, which was such a innovation. I mean, I don't know that it was such a performance innovation because nobody ever picked up on it again, but it was such a cool idea. And the down tube, as a result of having two adjacent down tubes, the two tubes are thin, so you get the thinnest looking down tube from the profile. It's really cool. And then you got that beautiful Colnago red. So, I mean, these are, you know, Colnago was just always, you know, they stood for performance and beauty, and these are great samples of that.
Yeah, the Mexico gold bike particularly, I'm not sure cycling gets any more late 80s, early 90s than a polished gold Colnago.
Yeah, the lines on that are just amazing.
And this is what we've been trying to do a bit more at Rulo Live this year is, you know, we have the stands with the exhibitors, and that's a really important part of the show. That's the central part of the show, but we're trying to add a bit of kind of editorial interest as well. These retro bikes are part of that theme. We're just putting on cool stuff for bike fans.
What is great about Rulo Live is it's not just a trade show. We got great stands with great partners and great exhibitors, but then we have cool cultural stuff like the bikes, or like across just in front of them this artwork by Puncher, some of my favorite cycling artists. These are the guys that made their name doing these large-scale stencils on the roadsides of the classics, you know. And last year they did one of those here, and this year they did something completely different. It was a sort of, I don't know, how do you describe it, connect the dots, or it was just like
they've basically made a giant picture. It's probably 2.5 meters square of Geraint Thomas, and they've just used small, let's go over and have a look actually. They've just used a very small selection of stickers from Rulo, Cycling in Flanders stickers and Puncher stickers, to just put them close together and made a recognisable picture of Geraint Thomas using just dots.
Listen, and let's talk to Thomas Dem. He's one of the artists here. I've been up to see him in Belgium, see how they work. But he's here, and he can describe it even better than us, because you have how many thousands of dots behind this thing?
Well, this is approximately 22,000 dots. A face made up of thousands of stickers. The three logos of us, Puncher, but also from Ruler and Cycling in Flanders, who we are with at the stand. You can win a trip to Flanders, where this picture was taken up on the Kemmelberg in 2015, where he became, I think, third in Gent-Wevelgem. Yeah.
Just to be clear, they have a large-scale picture of Thomas going up, is it the Kemmelberg?
Yeah.
And then they recreated his face, grimacing as it goes up, with these 22,000 dots. And when we got here on Thursday, this was a blank wall. And they were just sticking up these dots, one after the other. They go, only 21,677 to go, you know? And it didn't look like anything. And then by the end of the day, you could start to see his eye. And you said to me, do you start to see Thomas now? I said, yeah, I definitely do. So it's been fascinating to see this thing develop. And it took about a full day to get it all together, huh?
We actually worked until half an hour ago. So it must have been more than
2 days.
Yeah, we started here on Thursday. We're now Saturday, so yeah. 2 full days and a couple of hours, yeah.
Anyway, I love your stuff, Thomas. I love Puncher.
Thanks
of my
a lot.
Favorite.
Thanks for your support.
Some of my favorite creative thinkers in cycling.
And tell us about some of the other pictures that you've gone, because your pictures are very visible at the Flemish races.
Yeah, well, it started out in 2017 when Tom Bonen could have won the 5th time Roubaix as the first rider ever. So we wanted to do something to cheer him on, and we started with painting his face up on the Flemish roads on top of the Paterberg was the first one.
And you paint on the roads?
On the roads, yeah. It started out illegally, in fact. But nowadays we have all kind of bookings from cities, from big companies, to paint for them.
And what is it about cycling and the great rides of cycling that inspires you as an artist?
Well, in fact, I was always busy with graphic design, but also love to ride my bike, and especially on the cobbled sections that we have in Flanders and in Roubaix. Always been a big fan of cycling, and we wanted to do something more, and this is where all my passions collide, in fact.
And lastly, are you having a good time at Rulo Live?
Yeah, very much. We're glad we could be back this year. and we look forward to next year already.
Well, we'll see then. We look forward to whatever you create next year. If it's anything as good as the Geraint Thomas picture, people should be booking their tickets for Roulet Live 2024 now. Thank you, Thomas.
You're welcome.
So we're now walking past the editorial section, which has been compared to a petting zoo, although signs saying please feed the journalists. The next room we're getting to is the independent frame builders room, and we'll stop here just for a couple of minutes. James, I'm going to record a separate segment for this room, but what's been your impression of this room with the independent frame builders?
Well, when I walk in here, I just say there's not one bike here I wouldn't want to take home. All different kinds of materials. There's titanium, steel, and carbon, and one after the other is just so finely finished and so well thought out that, yeah, I would love to have one of these. One of my favorite stands is Angry Pablo, and they don't have a bike. They just have t-shirts and water bottles, but I just love their brand so much. I mean, what a great name, Angry Pablo. I love them. It's just like a funky, cool brand. I think I'm going to pick up one of those t-shirts before I go.
Now we're coming into this second room, and this is going to be the most challenging room for audio, so listeners, please bear with us, because there's so many passionate bike fans in here having a good time that it's hard to hear. But I must say, James, we're here at the Q36.5 stand, and for me, this is the single coolest, most amazing thing in the show. I'm just going to come up to the stand. I'm going to describe what I see here. There is a Q36.5 shoe suspended in midair. You can get your hand completely around it. There's no contact anywhere. It is floating in air and spinning around. So Walter DeLuca, who is working on the stand, just passed a postcard around the shoe. So it is floating in midair. Walter, how do you make this shoe float in midair and spin around?
It's the power of my mind.
Is it? You must have a very, very strong mind. It looks amazing. For me, this is the coolest thing in the show. You've had Vincenzo Nibali on the stand this week. How has that gone?
It was fantastic to see how many consumers were queuing up to get a selfie with him and an autograph. I mean, it's a hero, and it was good to see that recognition he got, both on stage, at the park. We also did a ride with him, and it was amazing. Yeah. 6 in the morning, 150 people show up to simply ride with him.
Yeah. And tell us about what you've got here at the show, and tell us a bit about the Q36.5 brand.
So we have a selection of the most representative items we have. We are displaying this shoe you mentioned earlier, which is a preview. This shoe will be launched in the market in late January, but we wanted to have the feedback from the consumer here as a preview. The response had been simply great. We also have a mix of what is about to be launched in the market for this winter. We have a one-piece skin suit, which is the most advanced solution for deep winter cycling, as well as some of the preview for the Summer 24 coming up next year.
Yep. So. And lastly, have you had a good time at the show?
We had enjoyed, yes.
Thank you very much.
Good interaction.
We hope to see you next year. Thank you, Walter.
Thank you.
And your floating magic shoe is amazing.
Thank you.
I will say, James, I did ask around about how they make that shoe float. There are very strong magnets involved, and that's how they do it. Next up, James, you're pulling me across quite urgently to the SWE stand. So you've written an article about SWE for the latest edition of Ruler, the Futurology edition. Tell us a bit about SWE.
Well, I mean, they're making a futuristic bike. It's a total one-piece monocoque carbon. And I was there as they put it in the oven and pulled it out. It's kind of minimalistic. They don't have a lot of stickers and decals. It's just beautifully stitched carbon that lines up perfectly. It's glossed perfectly. There are no lines. There's no glue showing because there basically isn't any. And, you know, light performance. The founder came from fine jewelry making, so he really understands the inherent importance of intricate details, and he applied that here to carbon. And to do that, he brought together a great A-team of former pros. You got Luca Paolini and Paolo Bettini. They've been ambassadors. They've been riding the prototypes. They've been helping sculpt it and perfect it, and it's coming out on the market. It's a thing of beauty.
Yep. And explain the brand name, SWE.
Right now, it has a kind of Swiss look to it because we have the Swiss flag, but it's actually, they actually want it to be the SW from Switzerland and the I from Italy. They're right up on the Italian and Swiss border, and they bring together the technology of Switzerland, the creativity of Italy, for a really elegant design. It goes all the way to the fork, to the handlebars. In terms of modern carbon bikes, it's a thing of beauty.
Yeah. James, we've arrived at the Argonne 18 stand. I've been passing by quite a few times. We had Mark Beaumont on this stand, the endurance cyclist, with one of his models early on in the week. And we're also here with Peter Ebro, the marketing manager of Argonne 18. So, Peter, tell us about what you've got on your stand.
Yeah, but our stand, this year we have our new Krypton Allroad, which is our all-road bike that we introduced here in April 2023. And it's a bike that is like the bike that can do it all, whether you're going road or off-road. So you have the chance to win a frame set at our stand by lifting the weight and guess the weight of one of the Kryptons in the gravel setup. But then we also have Mark Beaumont's E119 in one of the bikes, the bike that he used for going around Scotland. And he was here on Thursday to show and tell about the bike. Then we have Team Novo Nordisk, a pro continental team. Their Sun Pro, their race bike that they're using in their team edition. And then we have a track bike, the Electron Pro, which is the bike that we designed for the Australian track cycling team for the Tokyo Olympics.
We've interviewed Mark Beaumont in the magazine before about his exploits. So how is it working with an athlete like that? And what is the interaction between the brand and Mark?
Well, Mark is like a special ambassador for us because that he's also a consultant. So he helped us in the process of designing and how the look and the features of the crypto should be. So he has been in close dialogue with our R&D department in Montreal in Canada about how this bike should look like. So it's the perfect build for people that both go road and off-road, but also is doing the cycling adventures that he's an ambassador for.
Thank you very much indeed, Peter, for your time. The bikes look amazing. James, we're cyclists, we're cycling friends, and therefore we quite like a cup of coffee. I can see over here the Rocket Espresso stand. Should we go and have a look?
Let's go have a look, and maybe if we're lucky enough, we'll even get a coffee. I've always lusted after a Rocket Espresso machine.
Can you describe what you see before you? It's a vision in gleaming silver, isn't it?
Well, I even better, gleaming stainless steel, I think, you know, and I love my, what they call in France, Inox. It gives a timeless kind of retro vibe to it, but also one of strength. There's no plastic parts here. These machines are just like as solid as you can find at a cafe or a bistro, you know? One day I will have one of these in my house.
Yeah. Should we go and ask if they can make us a cup of coffee and we can see whether they taste as good as the machines look? We're just approaching the... Can I ask your name, please?
Susie.
Nice, Susie. Nice to meet you, Susie. And how is it going at Roulette Live?
It's good, yeah. It's really busy, actually. It's been a really good flow of people. Yeah, it's been a really good day. Lots of really great customers. I'm from Artisan Coffee and I'm here with Pro Espresso. So they're there doing the machines and everything. And then I've been giving out a lot of coffee today. And yeah, it's been really great.
Susie's demonstrating impressive multitasking skills with a seasoned barista by making coffee as we are doing this interview. The machine's really good to work with.
The machines are amazing. I've worked with quite a few different machines in my time and this one's really fantastic. It's really well controlled and it's lovely. I want one myself, I really do. They are really nice.
Yeah. And James and I were wondering if we could actually taste one of the coffees that you've made live on the Roulette Conversations podcast. That looks amazing. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, I'm trying not to make too many loud slurping noises on the podcast, but we're just going to try the coffee now. James is smelling his and just extending his sleeve so he can hold the cup properly. How does it smell, James?
Already as I smell it and the aroma goes into my nose and there's a lightening of my head. That's how good it feels, you know?
Yeah. By day three of Roulette Live, we really are in need of this. So we're just going to taste the coffee now. And it's got to go down quickly in the Italian way, hasn't it, James?
Yeah. Pure coffee. A great balance.
I have to say, Susie, that is the best coffee that I have had at Roulette Live so far. So thank you very much indeed. Okay, James, I've brought you over to the far corner here. Just two steps over from the coffee machine. We're still absolutely buzzing from those espressos. We're at the Brava watch stand. So tell us about these, James.
Well, you know, I always love a good classic watch. And these are some of those elegant watches I've seen in a while. Very original. They've got the sort of a sort of sporty look to them. They have like just a sort of vintage chrono. The little tint of rose for the Giro d'Italia this whole line is of watches is called the Grand Tour Chronograph Series.
Yeah, and they've got yellow detail or red detail or pink detail, obviously.
The pink one, I think, it just kills me. I think it's so elegant. I'm going to have to take a real close look at it and maybe try it on if I tried it on, I might go really into the danger zone very quickly.
I'm here with Magnus from Bravo Watches. Magnus, can you first tell me a bit about the brand and what you're doing here?
Yeah, so we're a Swedish brand. We've been around for 10 years approximately. And both I'm one of the co-founders, and my colleague Johan here. We are passionate cyclists. We've been riding for 30 years. And we combine our passion for cycling and watches and make watches with a lot of cycling inspiration, basically.
Cycling and time are so inextricably linked together, it's the perfect combination.
Yeah, I think so. And also, of course, there's a lot of style in cycling. It's important with having the right sock length and having a nice watch when you're riding as well.
Yeah.
We think it's a perfect fit, basically.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about the watches you've got here.
So our first cycling-inspired collection was the Grand Tour Series, which we have on display here. And as the name suggests, they pick up inspiration from the three Grand Tours. So we have the La Grande Boucle here, picking up inspiration from the Tour de France with the yellow accents, but also more subtle details, like there's a subtle polka dot pattern on the dial, which of course is a reference to the King of the Mountains jersey. There is a 12-hour index. It's inspired the iconic French milestones you find along the mountain roads in France, telling you the altitude and how far it is to the summit and so on. And there is also an upside down number 13 on the minute track. Of course, a reference to the long time tradition to turn the race number 13 upside down.
Yeah.
So our idea is to have like these subtle details that if you're into cycling, you will find these small details. If you're not, you can still appreciate the watch.
And there's one more watch which really, I mean, I think they all look amazing.
Thank you.
But there's one which, for me, stands out.
Yes.
And it's the Mercer Purple watch. And I just, the colours, just to me, are so evocative. So tell me about this watch and the others in the little series.
Yeah, so this is a brand new series. It's actually not yet launched. It's called Team Heritage. And it's picking up inspiration from iconic cycling teams from the past. So, for example, the one you mentioned, the Mercier team, picking up their purple and yellow colors. So it's really an amazing source of inspiration for us. The first models we launched are from three teams, so to speak. So Mercier, Peugeot team, and also the Renault Elf team. Yeah, and each model feature colors and patterns and textures from the teams.
The iconic Peugeot check pattern,
yes,
is there in the numbers.
Yes, correct. So our indexes are black squares. There is actually a subtle green frame around our indices as well, a reference to the BP logo that they had on their arms. And there is a checker pattern at the center of the dial as well, and also at 12 o'clock here. This is the Renault Elf team cycling watch. It has a small cycling cap at 6 o'clock here, and also on the case back you'll find a cycling cap. So subtle details, basically.
These watches are not flashy, they're not enormous, but I think you've summed it up, that they are subtle and they're really elegant, and I think true cycling fans will really appreciate the subtlety of the designs.
Yes, definitely. We hope so, and we've got some really good feedback here. It's amazing to be at this event and meet all the people here. So.
Right. Well, thank you very much for joining the show. I hope you enjoy the rest of it.
Thank you so much.
So just at the exit to this room now, James, and we can see something that you've been invested in. This is the photographic display of the Mark Günther Photo Awards. And I know we talked about this before, but just take us through what you've got here.
Well, I helped bring Mark Günther to Ruler last year. We put together a really great team of judges, not just cycling people, but art collectors. And
what is the Mark Günther Awards?
There are these, the preeminent cycling photography awards dedicated to Mark, who was a tremendous cycling photographer from Australia and sadly died several years ago in 2015 of cancer. It hit him very quickly. And so his wife put together, Leanne put together this competition in his honor, and also to create a link between Mark and his son, so his son remembered what Mark's legacy. And it quickly gained a lot of traction. Now, there are a lot of photography awards out there, but, for myself as a cycling photographer, the Günther Award is pretty high up there. You know, you want to win that and be part of that. And I had competed in it, and then I said, you know, I think it would be really great if we could collaborate, and we did. And so then I became a judge, which was really interesting because I saw just how good the competition was, you know, and anybody who made it into the top 10 has an outstanding picture. And the battles that we had in the jury selection, what was going to be first, second, third, fourth. I mean, the first place pictures were both pretty unanimous. And after that, it could have been, the second place could have been 10th, third place could have been 7th. It could have gone either way, anyway, for a lot of these because they're all so good. So part of the deal is that it's not just a trophy to give to somebody, but we had a selection in the magazine and also now here a selection at the awards. We'd hoped to have all 10 finalists, but there simply was not enough space. It was important for me to give space to the pictures we did hang and really show off the awards. So we have about the top 5 on this wall from both the amateur and the pro category, and then 6th and 7th places on an adjacent wall. But yeah, I mean, it's so wonderful to see these here printed big like they deserve to be. Not on Instagram, not small pictures, big, you know, exhibition quality pictures. And that's what I wanted with this. So I'm really happy I hung this exhibit and I had a lot of fun doing it. A lot of love went into this. A lot of love went into the picture taking, and I thought it's only just that we give that a lot of love with the exhibition.
And of course, cycling fans are, I think, they're connoisseurs of great photography. Photography is an integral part of cycling's aesthetic in a way that very few other sports are. Other sports have a lot of action photography. Cycling, it's way broader than that, isn't it? There's so many. So just talk us through a couple of the pictures and what the kind of variety we've got here.
I mean, our best action shot was by my friend Eloise Meva, an Italian, a wonderful, wonderful journalist. That was way up there for me. I thought that was going to be first or second.
And that's Jonas Vingegaard time trialing through a cave in the 2022 Tour de France.
Right.
Let's leave this room. Acoustically, should be a little bit more forgiving of our audio equipment here. We're just walking up the ramp into the cavernous main room, and we're going to take a right turn and walk towards the alluring yellow glow of the Lotus stand. Now, James, they've got a brand new Lotus here. I think it's the Lotus e-bike. And my God, James, sleek, black, shiny, Lotus coloured. And it's an e-bike as well. And it just looks amazing. It's suspended in a kind of glowing cube of yellow lights. And you can almost hear the angels singing as this bike hovers in midair, can't you?
Well, it's not floating like the shoe, but it just about is. Lotus makes such great bikes, and I mean, they embody speed. This bike, without the electric component, is already a speed machine. To give it electric assistance, I mean, how fast do you want to go? But you would never know it's an electric bike. It's so elegant, and it's got this whole new rear triangle that they've been working on, which is almost like these wings, and yes. it's so original and aesthetic. And it's funny because, you know, in our last issue, the Futurology issue, I did a feature on this time trial collector who has been collecting all these epic time trial bikes from the 80s and 90s, and his prize jewel was the Chris Boardman pursuit bike where he won the gold medal. One of those is on display here, but that was already so futuristic. And what's interesting to me with the new Type 136, they still somehow, even though it's a very different machine, enhance that elegant sense of aerodynamics and beauty, and they are very original bikes.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned it, let's just stroll over a couple of meters to what in my eyes is, if not the main event, then the joint headliner, because we've got an original monocoque Lotus Sport Chris Boardman replica bike with the single fork and the single seat stay on the back. And to my mind, this is one of the most elegant, iconic, beautiful bikes in the history of the sport.
Bicycle design never got better. Every piece is custom designed, custom molded, custom conceived. You know, the idea of the front fork and the rear fork being just on one side. And all of a sudden you look down and you got this perfectly lined up bike, but there's only one fork. You know, and then the wheel is open on the other end, and it goes on both sides. Just the sleek lines, I mean, curve. And Lotus is What a great name.
When Chris Boardman rode it and won the Olympic gold medal, it just flowed around the velodrome. It's liquid speed. But there's something not many people know about the Lotus bike, James. If you just come around to the angle I'm looking at, we're now in front of the bike, looking at it head on.
Yep.
If you look, James, the front wheel and the back wheel are not aligned. They're not straight.
Whoa.
The back wheel is slightly offset from the front wheel.
Even after photographing it last month, I did not notice that.
Yeah, I picked this up in an interview I did with Mike Burrows, the original designer. He said that's just kind of the way the frame was built, and it does. The main point is, it doesn't matter. To make the frame work, it had to be this shape, and part of the cost, or the part of the consequence of that, was that it was the front and back wheel weren't aligned, which I've always thought is amazing, because in all other respects, this bike is smooth, balanced, looks amazing, but it's kind of counterintuitive that crazy. The wheels aren't lined up.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. I did not know that. But yeah, I mean, this bike was so revolutionary.
While we're on a retro theme, look at what we've got here behind the Lotus stand. It's the Bianchi Ciclisti Artigiani London Cycling Club. And it's a collection of retro jerseys and retro Bianchis. And you're going to love this, James. So let's go and have a look.
I'm all over this. I already came over and visited them. I mean, the selection of Bianchis and Celeste goes back, I think, 1912 or something, 1916. I mean, they're just amazing. And these guys are just, it's just a cycling club. They're fans. They do aerobica. And they meet on the weekends with their vintage Bianchis. Apparently, some guys do show up non-Bianchi, and that's okay, too. But they decided for Ruler Live to bring together all their wonderful Bianchis. They got a 1958 world champion, the whole evolution of Bianchi, and it's so unbeatable. They got this whole wall of wool jerseys, so it's a beautiful installment.
Yeah, there's about probably a good 40 jerseys here. Can you just pick out and describe one favorite?
So many of these jerseys have so many memories for me. I mean, Stephen Roach's pink jersey from the Giro d'Italia, which I just, always loved. The different Bianchi jerseys. I remember the Wick Splendor Europe decor, because when I first got into the sport, I think Claude Kerkelian was world champion or was one of the great riders, and he had this cool orange Splendor bike that went with it. And
yeah,
I love that.
And obviously our listeners can't see the jersey, so just describe that Wick Splendor.
Well,
I think it's
a Sean
Kelly one, maybe.
Yeah, it's got a blue shoulders and a white panel for the sponsors, and then this sort of orange, black, and white check. I don't know what I would actually wear, but I just thought it was really cool. I mean, if I was going to actually go for a bike ride in one of these, well, it would maybe be, just a straight-up Giro d'Italia wool jersey. That's pretty great. And then, of course, they got the epic, iconic Brooklyn jersey, which I've bought retro versions over the years. So they just got a lot of really cool stuff here.
Yeah. I've managed to narrow my list down to two. First of all, the GS Cinzano jersey. It's pure style. It's just a black jersey with a Cinzano logo on it. I mean, what more do you want in a cycling jersey? But the one that I would be wearing on a ride out today would be that silver and blue striped Atala jersey, which I've always found to be just, for some reason, inexplicably, because when you describe it, it doesn't sound it, but I find it one of the most elegant jerseys there has ever been. But I'm going to bring us over now, and we're going to have a chat with Bob, who runs this stand. I just brought James over to Bob Johnson, who is the master of this Bianchi display. So, Bob, first of all, how are you enjoying Ruler Live?
Very good. It's brilliant. It's been brilliant. 2 years we've been doing it. We've come here now. It's been fantastic. So very happy.
So tell us a bit more about the bikes and the jerseys you've got here, and also the story behind how you came upon all these bits of gear.
Okay, we've got a bike club called Cicli Artigianali, and we ride pre-1987 bikes for the Eroica type events all over the world. And obviously when you have one bike to do the event, you end up with five or six. And Ruler asked us to come here to show a display of team bikes from the 50s through to the modern day. And we put them together as Bianchis. And we've got the jerseys that go with the teams. And the display above is just jerseys from the period. That's Tommy Simpson's World Championship jersey. That's Tommy Simpson's jersey. These are Brian Robinson's jerseys. So we have a collection of jerseys and bikes, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, and I can see behind you, this one is a 1916 Bianchi Model D.
Yes, this is Oscar Egg's six-day race bike that he raced in Madison Square Gardens and Buffalo during the First World War. He was Swiss, and he was the world hour record holder three times. He held it longer than anyone else. And this is his actual bike that he raced in 16 to 21 in America.
I would say it looks in remarkably good shape, considering it's 107 years old. And are those wood? Are the rims?
Yes, they're wood rims, and they're still made today in Italy. I had to restore it. I found it in a state, but it's restored back to how it was. And yeah, wood rims, fixed wheel, 107 years old.
Which bike out of these would be your favourite?
Oh, I ride the Gimondi replica, the 1976 Bianchi, which is a Gimondi World Championship record. You know, it's a replica bike Bianchi put out with World Championship bands on it, and I ride that. That's my daily ride.
And what is it about Bianchi that seems to have grabbed you?
Well, it's the oldest bike manufacturer in the world still in business, and if you followed racing from the 50s on, you know, they had Gimondi as a world champion. Coppi, probably the finest cyclist that ever lived, rode for Bianchi. Pantani rode for Bianchi. It's part of the history and the romance of cycling. And we started a club just for riding old bikes and going to events like Eroica events around the world.
Thank you, Bob, and thanks for bringing these beautiful bikes and amazing jerseys to add a bit of colour to Rulo life.
I'm interrupting this podcast to remind all listeners to subscribe to Rouleur, the world's finest magazine of cycling and cycling culture. Our latest edition, out now, is Rouleur 123, the Futurology issue. There is some amazing bike tech in Rouleur 123. We went to watch a Swee Aquis being lovingly built. We've got a story about the amazing Canyon Grail. We've got the inside line on the collaboration between BMC and Red Bull Racing. And there's a fantastic story about the Parisian AI Art Collective who decorated the Lapierre frames used by Groupama FDJ in the Tour de France. We also got access to an amazing collection of futuristic time trial bikes from the past, conceived around the time in the early 1990s when TT bike design was suddenly exploding and the bikes looked more futuristic than ever before. There are also stories about the future of the sport. We've looked at the past, present and future of women's time trialing, along with a special feature about how rider scouting is changing. And of course, we've got a range of in-depth interviews with Greg Van Avermaet, Taco van der Hoorn and Jay Vine, all of whom have fascinating perspectives on their careers and the sport. There's also an amazing feature about the Miami Blazers Criterium team, which is essential reading for anyone interested in the future direction of the sport, and much, much more. Rouleur is the world's finest magazine of cycling and cycling culture, and Rouleur 123 is available now. To support our journalism and receive a magazine every 6 weeks, please subscribe. Go to rouleur.cc, hit the subscribe button, and enter the code PODCAST15 to get 15% off our regular subscription price. And now, back to the show.
James, we've reconvened. You had to quickly run off and do a photography job. We're back in the main hall at Rouleur Live. So here we are by the Ribble stand.
Yeah, Ribble. I mean, you know, one of the oldest brands out there, one of the oldest British brands for sure. And yet they stay very modern and very, very hip. They always got a great look. They always got great ideas from like the RAF Green bike here to this really cool mountain bike by an artist by the name of Vic Lee, and this really cool, festive, modern paint job, pink, black on pink, and it traces the history of through the Ribble Valley all the way to London over the century, and it's a gorgeous mountain bike. It's just funky and modern and looks like a ton of fun to ride. I'm not a big mountain biking guy, but I'd love to be on that.
Yeah, it's pink with flowery decorations. Got references to Brick Lane and Shoreditch. Of course, Rouleur Live takes place in the Truman Brewery just next to Brick Lane in the heart of Shoreditch. So it covers the whole history of the brand.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about Rouleur Live is some of these brands, they get so into it. Ribble's got this cool mountain bike. There's a whole lot of special designs just for the festival. I think that shows just how much it resonates throughout the year. Yeah, I know it does for us, but I think it does with everybody else. And then they have just this like really cool stripped down metallic bike. Another thing of beauty. I like really clean stripped down bikes. It's all really tasteful.
Yeah, I appreciate the Ribble story at the moment. They've really reinvented themselves. Like I said, they've a very historic brand. You know, when I was a young cyclist in the 1980s, Ribble Cycles used to advertise in Cycling Weekly. They're based in Lancashire in the Ribble Valley, and for me, evocative of the 1980s. But of course, we're in the 2020s now, and companies can't stand still. And in the last few years, with their designer, Jamie Burrow, former professional, they've absolutely revolutionised themselves, reinvented themselves. They've kept and retained, and will always pay homage to their long, long history, because that is, you know, that counts. But they've also moved with the times, and in the last few years, the bikes that they've come up with have just been amazing.
Different brands, be it Ribble, be it Cinelli, be it Colnago, they're all looking for different ways to respect their history and keep it updated and modern. And Ribble's doing a great job.
And we go back quite a long way, James. You're 60, I'm 50, and you realise that we've got to keep reinventing ourselves as well. Here we are at the Condor stand, James, and I wanted to show you this bike because I thought this would appeal to your sense of aesthetics. This is the Condor Super Aciao Disc bike. Describe what you see before you.
I see a splendid motif of the Columbus dove all over this bicycle with a kind of iconic blue. It's not a Geos blue, but it reminds me of a blue we once found in some of the Eddie Merckx's in the 80s, say like on the Motorola blues and stuff. It's really a cool bike, and I love Condor. I've been to Condor's shop a couple times, been in their archives, you know, with showing the pictures with Mick Jagger on his Condor, and you know, another historic brand, but that has to keep getting updated, and they do too, and they have an aura about them, I think. I mean, very British, timeless yet modern, and I love their designs. I love them.
Timeless but modern, a bit like you, James.
Thank you.
I've got something to show you over here, James, which I think you're going to like. What do you think of Mads Pedersen?
He's a bike racer's bike racer. The worse the weather is, the better he gets. The longer the race is, the better he gets. The harder the race is, the better he gets. I mean, that's a bike racer's bike racer.
So I'm going to show you Mads Pedersen's bike, which has got the most amazing paint job. It's on the Pirelli stand. Obviously, Mads rides for Little Trek. But here we have Mads Pedersen's. I would describe the colour, but it's almost impossible to put your finger on. As you move around, the colours change. It's got iridescent gold fading into purple, into yellow, into blue, into turquoise. And to me, that paint job is just the best you can get.
It's over the top and it's so modern. And to boot, a sparkling gold chain. I mean, how good is that? But, you know, he's a world champion. He can get away with that. I've been to Waterloo and visited their factories and their whole finishing area, and they've got some really stunning finishes. They're state-of-the-art. You know, their Project One state-of-the-art. And it's, yeah, I mean, that Mads Pedersen's riding it is only fitting.
I'm just moving over to Sam Moy, who works for Pirelli. Tell us about how you got Mads Pedersen's bike on your stand, and tell us about the bike, and especially, from your perspective, the tyres.
So, yeah, it's Mads' tour bike. We got it from Trek Segafredo. Pirelli, they've got their sponsorship. So, yeah, we contact Trek. They send us this beautiful-looking bike. Tyres that are running is P0 Race tubes on this one. Rider preference whether they run tubes or tubeless. And this one will be running TPU tubes, so, you know, saves the rolling weight, rotational weight. But yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful bike, gets a lot of attention.
Pirelli at the forefront of tyre design in cycling.
They're up there now, you know, they've only been back in cycling since 2017, off the top of my head. The strides they've made since then are quite phenomenal. A lot of their manufacturing is now moving over to their own factory, which gives them a lot of control over tech and what they can do. Obviously, Pirelli is one of the main in motorsport, so yeah, they're taking on the cycling trade.
Thank you very much, Sam. The bike looks beautiful. The tyres look especially brilliant. Thanks. James, something's caught your eye over here.
Well, it's Ben Healy's Cannondale Lab 71. With this custom bait job that he broke out in the Giro d'Italia. I was down at the Giro shooting bikes, and I was like, oh, I gotta have that one. That is gorgeous. It looks like an abstract expressionist painting in some ways. And I just saw this in Paris, this amazing retrospective of Mark Rothko, one of my favorite painters. And I always thought if I custom colored my own bike, I'd try to get a little Mark Rothko in there. And this Cannondale does that. Not necessarily the same color schemes, because Cannondale is using a lot of pink here, which was not necessarily a Rothko color, but that's okay. I love pink on a bike, and I think it's so elegant.
And so, James, we're on our penultimate stop on our tour of the Ruler Live main room. Where are we?
Cinelli, bring it on. I love Cinelli, always have. Love the brand, love their connection to art, to history, and keeping it modern as well. They have this great line. It's not their most expensive bike, but the Nemo, a great road bike. It's been a great gravel bike. And they just announced last week they're going to start bringing the frame building back to Milano, to the original factory, and be doing their Nemo steel gravel and road bikes, I believe road bikes as well, in the factory in Milano. I really love that. I really want to go down there and visit with them, with some of the frame builders as they're working. Always got great colors, sleek designs, this sort of, how do you call it, pearloid pink that I think is just so elegant.
And a very historic brand as well.
One of the most historic, and again, you know, going back to their longtime CEO, Antonio, you know, a real passion for art and visuals. He was an art collector himself. And that, even though he's no longer with the brand, that's very much something that I think is carried over here. It's funky, it's always cutting edge, and a lot of fun to ride.
Yeah. And something that strikes me, I mean, we're in a trade show, in the trade show part of Ruler Live, and all the stands are brilliant. Everyone's made a real effort to showcase the products, make the stands look great. I really do like the Cinelli stand. It's kind of a bit more funky, bit more creative. It's got a backdrop of various different Cinelli logos over the years, kind of rendered in a cartoon style, and that to me, you know, adds an extra layer of kind of intrigue and makes me kind of identify the brand a bit more, makes me, you know, makes me interested in their products, even though it's merely a backdrop to their products, but it just shows how cool the brand is. I'm here with Lucas Sochnik, who works at Canyon. Lucas, can you introduce yourself, tell us what you do at Canyon?
Sure. My name is Lucas. I work for Canyon as a senior design engineer. So I'm basically designing new stuff, new bikes.
And speaking of new bikes, tell me about the models you've got here, because they look absolutely amazing.
Yeah. On our left, we have the Speedmax Trek, which is one of our newest models. It's a Trek-specific bike we actually made. We started the bike together with Chloe Dygert. So Chloe Dygert, actually, when she signed for Canyon, she actually requested also Trek bike. And therefore, we just started to build the bike for her. And in the process, we also signed up with Danish Trek team, and they are pretty excited about the bike, and we're looking forward to it. We have the Olympics next year, and this will be the first proper race for the bike.
How is it working with Chloe Dygert? Is there a lot of feedback from her? Is she involved in the design process?
Absolutely. I mean, for this bike, it was a bike specifically built for her. So, of course, her feedback was crucial in the development. And she wasn't that happy, actually, with the bike she had before. So there was some really good feedback, what we can do better. It was really good working with her. There were some small improvements, but also some bigger improvements for the bike. And we definitely learned a lot from her.
And what else have you got here on the stand?
And we have also our Aero bike here. So this is our Aero. So it's basically one of our main road bikes. The majority of the teams actually use the Aero bike, actually high-end Aero bike, but it becomes more and more like the bike they use like every day, also on mountain stages and stuff. So we see that actually the Ultimate, which is a super lightweight bike, people not using that anymore, so they really go more for the Aero now.
I've been passed across to your colleague Matthew Leake, who's going to tell us about the third bike on the stand.
We have launched a new Grail recently, just in mid-October. Second generation of this bike, quite a step change to the first generation Grail, which is like fairly iconic in its design with the double decker handlebar. The new Grail is a much sharper, more performance focused bike for the new world of gravel racing, really developed with feedback with the likes of, you know, US gravel superstars, guys like Pete Stettiner, and it's been used in racing this year. Started at Unbound, that's where it first broke cover. Had a fairly successful first outing with Caroline Schiff winning the women's race and Tiff Cromer winning the 100 mile race. So yeah, finally available to the public, and not just for gravel, but it's a great sort of all-round solution for all seasons riding. It's a pretty solid prospect.
It looks really, really resilient and the kind of bike you can rely on.
Yeah, totally. So obviously reliability is a huge thing whenever you're riding off-road, and just making sure, you know, you've got enough clearance that you're not going to ruin your bike if you're going through any deep mud or anything like that. But it's this balance between sturdiness and light-footedness as well. So it's just really fun to ride as well. We've got a very different geometry concept on this bike compared to the old bike. It's the whole classic of like adding stability and maintaining agility, but it's much more progressive in terms of its geometry compared to the predecessor. And it's solid across all terrain. I mean, personally, I'm riding this bike with slick tires at the moment, with mud guards. It's just a great all-weather bike. It's not just for off-road riding.
And what were the design challenges and innovations you put on this bike?
Quite a lot going on, really. So integration that makes sense was a key factor, and like, you know, integrating things like storage. So got load down tube storage there in the down tube. You can put with a specific clip system for the pump, for the mini tool, also space for the tool pack as well, where you got your inner tube, CO2 inflator. And then we've got this really cool, we call it the Fidlock Quick Loader, which uses the Fidlock magnetic system. It's a really clean, strapless bag system that just like clips in and out in seconds. And actually, it's like integrates with the whole aerodynamic concept of the bike as well. And we even proved it in the wind tunnel. It's 1.5 watts faster with the pack as well as without. And then up to the cockpit as well, we've got a new interface as well. We call the Gear Groove, and that's basically opening up a whole ecosystem of accessories that you can bolt onto the front of the bike. And that's something we're going to be expanding into the future as well, onto other road products as well. So it's there's a lot going on.
Right, James, that brings us to the end of our walkthrough of Ruler Live 2023. My next job is to go onto stage and interview Geraint Thomas. I saw him earlier on in the green room with a pizza and a beer, so he's obviously in full off-season mode. And what have you got planned for the rest of the day?
Well, I was fortunately able to get 3 minutes to photograph him earlier, and we had found a really cool spot, so that was cool. So I want to edit those. I got to come back and shoot all of the stands. We got only about 2 hours left, so it's going to be a busy 2 hours.
Yeah. Enjoy your last 2 hours at Ruler Live, James.
See you, bud.
You have been listening to Ruler Conversations. Ruler Conversations is made by the editorial staff of Ruler Magazine. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Ruler, and on Instagram at Ruler Magazine, or visit our website at ruler.cc. This edition of Ruler Conversations was produced by Joseph Perry of Content is Queen.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.